to Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. We are starting a brand new series called Let There Be Light, studying through the book of Genesis. Here is Pastor Nate with today's message.
Genesis chapter 1, in verse 26, it says this: Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Every creeping thing that creeps, your little brother as well. Every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27 says this: So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food, also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food, and it was so." Then God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Evening and the morning were the sixth day. Called this message, if you're taking notes, Instagod. The way Genesis breaks down, and I've said this already, is that the very first one verse, Genesis 1:1, basically gives a huge overview statement. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the idea is that in the beginning, God created everything from A to Z. Everything that we know, God created it. And then verse 2, it sort of zooms in a little bit. Verse 2, it begins to unfold exactly what that looks like. And it talks about each day that God created different things, placed things where he placed them, all those things. And so it zooms in a little further. This verse, the verses that we looked at, as God creates mankind, humanity, it's sort of giving us an overview of that. And then chapter 2, which we'll look at next week, zooms in a little bit. So if you read ahead and you're like, wait a second, I thought God already created mankind, and then chapter 2 tells us about him creating mankind. What it's done is it says God created humanity, and then it sort of zooms in chapter 2 and says, okay, this is how he did it. So what we have in chapter 1 is a big overview. On the sixth day, God created man. And we sort of have that big overview. And we learn two major things in this portion of the creation story. Two major things that we have to understand or try to understand in this portion. Number one, we see God in the plural sense. Did you notice that? Can we throw up verse 26 back on the screen? It says this: Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Who was God talking to if he hadn't created anybody yet? Now, some people would say, well, maybe he's talking to angels. Like, he's looking at his army of angels and he's like, all right, guys, let's, remember we talked last week where God wasn't like, hey, guys, let's figure out how to make the sun floating in the sky. And the angels were like, all right, I'll try and figure it out. No. The idea here, when God says, let us make man in our image, it kind of awkward if you were to do this. He's talking to himself. Like if we saw you like, so let us go to Chick-fil-A tonight. You're like, that person's a weirdo. But God's saying, let us make man in our image. And what this is doing for us is it's introducing to us the triune nature of God. Now again, I'm going to nerd out for the first 10 minutes of my Bible study. That's pretty much how this series has gone. Nerd out for a few minutes and then hopefully make it all make sense. It's introducing this idea of the triune nature of God. We believe that the Bible teaches us that God is one God with three different and unique characteristic or roles. One God with three different aspects. We know him as the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, right? It's one God with three unique roles. We get the idea of the Trinity. Now, although that word Trinity is not used in Scripture, we see its effect, or we see this idea throughout Scripture. The best portion of Scripture to talk about this idea, the Trinity, would be when Jesus was baptized in the New Testament. When Jesus came, God the Son came in the form of a human being to earth. He was baptized by a guy named John the Baptist. And when he was baptized and he sort of came back out from the water, we're told that the Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, and that the heavens opened up and God said, "Behold, this is my Son," or however God sound, "in whom I'm well pleased." And in one scenario, we see all three parts: Father speaking, Holy Spirit descending, and God the Son there in the flesh being baptized. So the Bible throughout teaches this idea that there's one God, but he has three different ideas. And God says, "Let us create man in our image." In context and understanding the big picture narrative, he's speaking to himself. And we see that each part of the Trinity had different roles in the creation story. Now, this isn't perfect. This is hopefully to help us understand this illustration. The Bible doesn't say this directly, but hopefully throughout Scripture, we kind of get context about this idea. So the three part of God each had different roles when it came to the creation narrative. The Father sort of served as the sovereign architect. He created the plan. He was the one that said, "Okay, we are going to create earth, and this is what it's going to look like." The Son, Jesus, would have been the builder. In fact, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says it like this: "For by him," that is Jesus, "all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him," speaking about Jesus. So we got God as a sovereign architect, Jesus as the builder, and then the Holy Spirit was sort of like the project manager. He was making sure that things got done. We're told back in Genesis 1, verse 2, that the earth was out form and darkness was on the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That the Spirit of God was the one sort of making sure that things got done. One God, three parts. Now, understanding this and explaining this is beyond me. It's above my pay grade. I don't know. Right? How can one thing be three different parts? And people try to explain it all different ways. Like they try to compare God to an egg. Like there's like hard boiled. I don't know how they do it. And a yolk. Whatever. It's a weird. Other people like water. Well, there's like liquid and solid and gaseous form. And that's kind of like God. All of them, like as you dig deep, it's like kind of, but not really. God is one, but he's got three parts. Do we understand this? No, he's God. If we understood it, it wouldn't be God. Right? If we understood everything about God, then you would be God. And there's aspects of God that we're just like, I don't know. God says he's one and he's three. Sounds good to me. That was also a little rhyme. You could tweet that. What we know is that God reveals himself in three unique ways, but he's still one God, and all aspects are God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. There is only one God, but he serves different roles. The other thing we learn is that man was created in the image of God. That's what we hear over and over in these verses that we just read. He says it once in verse 26, "Let us make man in our image." And then verse 27, he says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female." Like, it's so important that it repeats itself. Like, that sentence almost doesn't make sense because it's so clear. Right? It's like so obvious, it's like kind of confusing. He's like, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him." So what he wants us to understand is that humanity, mankind as a whole, was created in the image of God. And this is what I want us to consider tonight. And the word image is going to be our outline. So you can write it down like this: image, and we're going to break this thing down. Sound good? You with me? Yes. All right, number one, image. The I is going to be the word intellect. Intellect. God created man in his own image, and part of that is that God created man with intellect. Man was intellectually or intelligently designed by God. God created man on purpose with thought and intention and design. That when God created you, it wasn't an accident. It wasn't a random swirling of molecules that just happened and you were there. That God created you with an intention and design. In fact, the Bible would say that before the foundation of the world, God called you. The idea is that before he even made you, he had a plan for you and he thought about you. It makes it seem like that before God spoke everything into existence, he thought about how he was going to do it and he thought about what it was going to look like as he did it. That God, he created you with thought and detail and design and intention. But also, when God created man, he separated us from the rest of his creation. In his blessing, he told that man was to have dominion or control over all other created things. He did this by giving us intellect, that you have intellect. Some of us have higher intellect than others. Most of you probably higher than me. That's besides the point. But we have intellect. Animals, the creation before, on the first half of the day, animals have what we call instinct. Correct? Instinct. Instinct is something inside of them that tell them certain patterns to follow or actions to take. That's how animals know to seek shelter during storms, and they know what they need to eat to survive. They know how to reproduce. Animals have instinct. There's something inside of them that sort of urges them to do certain things. We have instinct to a degree. You know, sometimes you're like, this just feels like going back to the creeping thing. Like, this is kind of creepy right now. Like, we have instinct. We can feel certain things like that. But we also have intellect. Intellect is using logic or reason or your surroundings to process information and make a rational decision. Some of us make lots of irrational decisions based upon random collections of data. But at the end of the day, we have the opportunity to take information in and come to a rational decision. That is God-given. God has given you intellect. It's what separates you from the rest of his creation. That you can look at situations and you can look at opportunities and you can process information and come to a decision based upon your intellect. Animals don't have that ability. They have instinct. They don't have intellect. God created you in his image because like you were intellectually or intelligently designed, he gave you an intellect. You were designed in the image of God with intellect. Number two, M, we're going to use the word mirror. Mirror. You were made in God's image to mirror God. In a few ways, we do this. Number one, in your design and nature. You mirror God in your design and nature. We saw that God is triune, one God, three parts. God made humanity in a similar way. God made humanity spirit, soul, and body. The Bible teaches this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul would mention this. I don't have it on the screen, but he mentions this idea that he prays for our spirit, our soul, and our body. The spirit is the part of us that connects with God. The spirit is the part of us that allows us to have relationship with God. And you can feel close to God and have relationship with him and know him and feel intimate with him. Maybe it's during a time of worship or prayer or through conversation or through hearing him speak to you through his word, that God, through our spirit and his spirit, we can know one another. And the Bible teaches us that before Jesus, this part of us, the spirit part of us, is dead. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but God has raised us alive in Christ. The idea is that we weren't physically dead, right? All of us were alive before we met Jesus, but spiritually dead. The part of us, the spirit part of us, was dead before Jesus, and then faith in Jesus causes that part of us to come alive. Before him, without him, it's dead. That part of us doesn't exist. But then with Jesus, it comes alive, our spirit. The other aspect of it is our soul. Our soul could also be called our mind, as it is in other places in Scripture. This is our emotions, our conscience even aspects of our personality. Our soul, it's like the inside you, right? It's the inside. It's the part of you that really makes you you, and you can have a soul without having a relationship with God, right? You have thoughts and you have ideas, and even you have, for many of us, we have an idea of what is right and wrong, even apart from God. Right? Like deep down, we know, like, probably shouldn't do this. Even if you didn't know God, there's aspects where, like, this just seems wrong. Because God has given us a soul. It's the inside us. And then the last part, we got spirit, soul, and then body. This is our flesh. This is also not just the physical flesh, but this is also the part of us that people see. You know how there's parts of you that you talk about? There's parts of you that you'll explain to people. There's your personality and things that you actually let people see. And then there's other parts of you that you don't let people see. Certain characteristics, certain aspects, certain thoughts that you've even thought that you're like, ugh. Keep that bottled up way deep down. Our body is the part of, it's the outside us, it's the outward us. And listen, each part makes you unique, and it's what makes you you. We're also a mirror in the sense that we reflect who God is. You reflect who God is. Not just in our design, but how we live our life. People, if you've placed faith in Jesus Christ, people should look at your life and see something different about you. The way that they behave and the way that they react and the things that they do and the things that they listen to or the things they say, there's something different about them. And maybe they can't put it into words, but what it is you reflecting the image of God. That people are looking at your life. And it's not a perfect image because we make mistakes and we mess up. But it is an image that people can look at our life and say, there is something different about them. Thirdly, the A is going to be the word authority. God set man apart from other creation by giving man authority over all other created things. He says that throughout the scripture that we just read. Again, verse 26, he says, let's make man in our image. And then he said, let them have dominion over the fish, over the birds, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Man has dominion. The idea is to rule or have authority. And the idea is really simple. The idea is to take the raw elements of this world and investigate it and invent with it things that will bless humanity and give glory to God. The idea is that we take the raw materials in the world, whether it's a tree or whether it's paint or whether it's whatever it might be. We take it, the raw materials that are in the world, and we investigate it, and then we invent with it things that are going to bless humanity and bring glory to God. That was the charge for Adam when he lived in the garden. We'll look at this again more next week. But this idea that Adam was placed in the garden with a job to do. That before even sin, he had to work. That Adam, he had a job. And what his job was is to take the raw potential that was in the garden and use it to bless people and bring glory to God. God has given you the same authority, the same dominion, to take what's in your world, to investigate it, to invent with it, and then bring glory to God and bless other people. That's a pretty high command. It's a pretty exciting command as well. To look at, okay, what do I have? What has God given me that I can take and I can learn and I can be the best that I could possibly be and I can work and I can experiment and I can investigate and then with this I'm going to invent something. Maybe it's a song, maybe it's a painting, maybe it's a business, maybe it's going to school and getting really good grades. Whatever it is, I'm going to take what I've been given, I'm going to look into it, and then I'm going to be a blessing to the people around me and bring glory to God with what I have. We have authority. God has designed you to rule. The Bible says you're the head and not the tail. Meaning God wants you to be first, not last, like Ricky Bobby. He wants you to be first. He wants you to go far. He wants you to be the person that wins. But the Bible also shows us that greatness is found in humility. If you want to be the best, you got to be learn to be the servant. So how do we rule? Well, we learn to serve. How do we have authority? Well, we learn to be a blessing to other people. How do we learn to be the best and win in God's eyes? Well, it's taking what I have and learning how to serve God and serve others with what God's given me. You want to rule in life? You want to have authority and be a good reflection, be an image of God? Take what God's given you, learn how to be a blessing to people, and learn how to bring glory to Him. God wants us to rule over what we have to bless others and bring glory to Him. All right, number four. You guys still with me? All right, the G is going to be God's friend. We're created in the image of God to be God's friend. We're made in His image to know Him and to be known by Him. In the original design, God and man walked in close relationship in the perfect paradise that God created. In fact, there's an inference in chapter 3 that God and humanity would walk together on a regular basis. That God actually shows up at the garden. It says at the cool of the day, so there was a certain time of day that God showed up, and Adam and Eve, they would walk together with God. They had a relationship with him. They knew one another. They had conversation. What would that look like? Walking through the garden and having conversation with God. So how was your day today? Invent anything cool? Like speak anything into existence? And I'm sure the other way around, God would ask Adam, so have you taken the raw materials of the earth and created something? I really believe that the garden, if it were to have lasted, it wouldn't have stayed a garden. That humanity would have taken what God gave us and created something with it. That who knows, maybe it would be a city. In fact, in the new earth, what the Bible talks about, once God returns and takes the church up and creates a new heavens and a new earth, there's streets, there's houses. It doesn't seem like it's this garden or just this wild shrubbery forever. And in fact, God, the man takes it and does something with it. So maybe God, as they had conversations, so what did you investigate today? What did you learn about today? Well, I learned that if you take the seeds and you plant them here, that you would have fruit. And if you use this, you can do that. And if you chop them up and you put them together, you have a fruit salad and it's delicious. And actually, and all of these things, could you imagine the conversations? But the idea is that they were designed to have relationship with one another. And the same is true today. God designed you for you to know him and for him to know you. Now, spoiler alert, man breaks that relationship from its original form. We know that. We'll see that in chapter 3 as we continue through this story. That God had this perfect relationship with humanity, but because of rebellion, because of disobedience, that relationship was broken. But that didn't stop God. God didn't look at earth after Adam and Eve sinned and go, well, we tried. On to another one. Like, well, just, it took me 6 days. We could do it again. Right? No. God hatched a plan from that very day, we see it, that God hatched a plan to redeem and restore that broken relationship. That God had a plan to send his only son into the world to become sin for humanity. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might be restored in right relationship with God. That God immediately after the relationship was broken hatched a plan. Why? Because he wanted you to know him and he wanted him to know you. That God created you. We are designed to know God. And listen, when we don't know God, there's a void in our life. Because part of being made in the image of God means he designed you to know him. And so if you don't know him, you're missing something. There's an aspect of your life that's incomplete without knowing God. And people try and fill it with all sorts of stuff in relationship or money or power or whatever it is. But there's a void that God created that can only be filled by him. We're designed in God's image to know God. Final thought, worship team, you guys can come up here as I close with our E. That is the word eternal. Eternal. We're not eternal like God is in a sense of without beginning, because we have a beginning, right? Like mine was 11/25/92, in case you were wondering. I guess technically it would have been a few more months before that, but that's besides the point. 11/25/92 was when Nate was here. That was my beginning. That's when it all started for me. Woke up kicking and screaming, and it's pretty much been the same ever since. We had a beginning. So we're not eternal in that sense. God had no beginning. Right? In the beginning, God was. He was there. He was there at the party at the start. But we are eternal in the sense of not having an end. Although our body will wear down, our soul and our spirit will live on forever. And it shows us that this life is not all we're designed for. When life comes to an end for us here, it's not the end. We step into what the Bible calls eternity. I've heard it said before, and I think it's a good way to think about it, that we call this life life and the next life the afterlife, right? You've heard somebody say like the afterlife, or they don't believe in an afterlife or whatever it might be. This person said that what we should call it is this is the pre-life and the next part is the real life. Why? Because 70 years pale in comparison to eternity, right? Like if we live the most, let's say you make it to 100, right? Like let's say you keep going and you got your walker and then your wheelchair and then probably your oxygen tank and you're 100 years old and you're still going. Like there's still going to be an end. Your body's going to wear down. But from that point, the Bible makes it very clear that we step into eternity. And eternity is forever. Jesus would say over and over that he came to bring life and abundant life. And then he would say everlasting life or eternal life. Listen, the reality is that we are eternal. Everyone will go on forever. Every single person will go on forever. The important part to consider is how will that eternity be spent?
You've been listening to Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. Thanks for tuning in. We pray that this message has brought you closer in your relationship with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Pastor Nate's teaching, check us out online at middlegroundradio.com. And if you'd like to keep up with all that's going on, follow us on Instagram at Middle Ground Radio. Be blessed, and we hope to see you next time here on Middle Ground Radio.